Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come to email us at ForgottenFailuresCast@gmail.com or visit ForgottenFailuresCast.com.
Mark, your civilization is very powerful. So powerful, it's a danger to itself. Poverty, pollution, starvation, nuclear wars, these things are unheard of on Mars. We want to help you build such a civilization right here on Earth.
Really?
Hell no! I was bullshitting! Mars is a dump, and you bought it! Oh, I can't believe how stupid you are.
Hi, I'm Mike.
I'm Daryl.
I'm Lindsay.
And this is Forgotten Failures, the podcast where we find an obscure movie and then try to determine whether it deserves to be obscure or not.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Yeah,
now, you might notice that the sound quality on this has dropped a little bit, and that's because Mike R., a.k.a. Mike from Las Vegas.
A.k.a. I wish I was in jail, Mike.
Yeah, a.k.a. I'm in Europe right now, Mike, is in Europe.
It being presented to the crowned heads of Europe on a grand tour, like a Henry James character.
And Mike has all of our, well, all of his audio equipment.
I think that's actually why he's in Europe right now. He's doing podcasts with some of the heads of state of foreign countries and all that.
Having a good time. So, since Mike couldn't be with us, we decided to postpone on the Forgotten Favorites series and watch a movie that Daryl had on hand.
Yeah, I was looking through the Ursary Vault of Forgotten Movies, and by that I mean movies that we got from a closing video store back in the early 90s. So we have a bunch of promotional copy movies, which we're probably going to do a mini-episode about the previews to this movie, but yes. Let's just suffice to say, have you ever wondered how, like, video stores, how they got the movies you rent, or why, when you forget to turn them back in, they charge you, like, $100 to replace it? Well, it's because they almost cost $100. Like, a suggested retail price of the movie we're about to review this evening, Martians Go Home, starring Randy Quaid. Suggested retail is $89.
And 95 cents.
And 95 cents.
Yeah.
And they're going to count every penny.
Amazing to contemplate. Humans could not buy it. Only stores could.
Yes.
Yeah. And as Daryl said, we're going to be probably doing the trailers for this movie in a separate mini episode. But just to sum it up, there is a trailer for the movie that we watched, Martians Go Home. There's a trailer for the movie before the movie. There is a trailer for Jeff Goldblum's sex thriller.
I forget what that was called.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Twisted Obsession or something
like that.
Whatever.
And then immediately following, there's a trailer for Babar.
Yeah.
The Elephant Prince, if you remember. And then a couple other kid movies. And then a weird cut of the Jeff Goldblum movie that's
the 15 minutes of highlights.
Yeah.
It's like a mini movie that they cut together in the previews. So we're going to be doing that at some point in the future.
It's going to happen.
But they were really amazing trailers.
Oh, they were great.
That Babar movie had nice animation. I like the lines.
It was the best trailer. And actually, Mike had some hesitation in watching the trailer for the movie that we're about to watch.
It turns out that it didn't, even though it was like 3 minutes long and nothing but scenes from Martians Go Home, it didn't have that many plot spoilers because it doesn't have that much of a plot.
No, it just had Martians doing dumb shit.
Yeah, so if you like Martians doing dumb shit and hate plots, well, this Randy Quaid romp is for you. If you like Randy Quaid romps, just follow him around.
And you can probably get it for less than $89.95 now, so there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. However, it has never been released on DVD except in Europe. So the VHSs might be pretty sought after. Who knows?
How bad were movies in Europe that got a release?
Well, it's great to know that Mike can watch it in Europe.
Yeah.
He can't watch it here, but he can watch it in
Maybe
Europe.
He can find it in a yard sale or something. I'm sure he's doing a lot of yard sale. Right.
Yeah, on Amazon, there's Region 2 DVDs, not Region 1. And he looks really grumpy on the cover. He looks like Ed Bundy. Wow. Or no, Al Bundy.
Oh, God. Ed Bundy, that's a different story.
That would be Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy. Yeah.
Al Bundy is a combination of Ed O'Neill and Al Bundy.
I was thinking Ed Gein. Sorry.
That's right. Ed Bundy could be a combination of Ed Gein and Ted Bundy, or it could be a combination of Ed O'Neill and Al Bundy.
I like the first one.
Or King Kong, King Kong Bundy and Ed McMahon.
Sure.
Just think about all those for a minute.
About it, won't you? Thank you.
Yeah.
So let's get to the plot summary for Martians Go Home.
Oh, yeah. All right. So it's time for Mike D's Break D. I'm making that thing. I love it.
I like it.
And so I do have a timer here. Mike has asserted, I was willing to give him a minute and a half on this, and he said he doesn't need a minute and a half. He can do this in a minute.
Yeah, this is no hollow point in terms of narrative complexity. It's not up there with upstream color or hollow point or movies like that.
Or Showgirls, even.
All right, so we're going to do this right now.
Okay, we start off with Randy Quaid being interrogated by a shadowy figure. It's very scary, actually. I didn't even think it was the movie. But then it turns out that he's being induced to give the story of how he led the Martians to Earth. So, he is a songwriter, a music writer in Hollywood. He's a pretty mediocre one, but he's successful. He writes some music for a TV show, and eventually it turns out that some of that music induces aliens to come to Earth. The aliens basically go around annoying people, revealing all of their secrets, sexually harassing women, and ruining TV shows, most importantly for his career. So eventually he tries to play his special alien music backwards, and he tries to hijack a presidential speech to do that, but they throw him in jail, then they throw him in the loony bin, and then when he gets out of the loony bin, he and his wife, who is a radio technician, eventually succeed in broadcasting the music to make the aliens go home, and then the aliens do go home. That's your plot.
Wow, we didn't...
All right, 5 seconds to spare.
Yeah.
Although I keep calling her his wife. I don't think they're married.
They're probably some sort of, like, common law.
Yeah, I'm sure they're living in sin. It's California. We can just assume that everyone there is living in sin.
Yeah.
In fact, that is even, like, almost the tag of the end of the movie. Like, they're gone. We can finally go back to cheating and screwing whoever we want. It's
basically
great.
Most people are just upset that the aliens are making them tell the truth, because the aliens are just calling them out on all their lies and everything.
Because you maybe not... Didn't know this about Martians, but they're all, like, omnipotent.
They are. They're basically gods.
They know all and see all.
They are gods.
I do think that there was at least one Martian god, and that was the Spuds McKenzie Martian, who pops up on the beach for, like, a second and has sunglasses on and surrounded by babes.
Yeah, to be clear, he is a dog.
And Mike doesn't think that there's, like, a Martian leader, but I have a feeling that the Spuds McKenzie... there's only one of him, and he's green, and he's awesome.
Yeah, the thing is, these aliens, they quickly run rampant across human civilization.
There's a billion of them on Earth!
Yeah, how they did that, like, count after them being there for, like, a couple seconds, they're like, Earth has been invaded by... We have estimates as high as 1 billion Martians.
Estimates from experts on this sort of thing.
What's great is there's, like, a little tiny, like, kind of weird montage where it shows, like, the aliens in all different places on Earth.
Yeah, they show three places.
There's three places. They'll let you know that, like, they're everywhere. Yeah. And there's this one part where they're in France, and there's this couple there's this couple talking, and it's, there's subtitles because they're speaking in French, so let you know that it's France. And they're like, there are these green Martians, and blah, 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 I don't know how to feel about this. And, like, they're like, well, there are no feelings anymore, only bitterness.
Life is meaningless.
Life is meaningless.
Earth is an empty void.
Yeah, like, it's very...
Earth is an empty void filled with green Martians.
Yeah, it's very full of, like, ennui, and just very, very French. Like, it's... That's a comedy piece that worked.
Life is futile.
Yeah, and the rest of the montage is a guy at a Buddhist temple being annoyed by a Martian with a leaf blower.
Yeah.
And then Spuds McKenzie.
Great to know that leaf blowers have always been annoying.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought 1990 people were still enthralled to the exciting novelty that was the leaf blower.
I feel like they were instantly annoying. Because I can imagine...
Like smashing up his prototype in his basement.
Yeah, and I feel like leaf blowers are
What have I wrought on this world?
What have I done?
Yeah, I feel like people in California, like Southern California, are particularly annoyed by leaf blowers. Like, this meme seems to crop up a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you see in Hollywood movies, it's like this assumption that everyone has a Mexican gardener, which is, like, only true in Southern California, but they think it's true everywhere.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. And those gardeners themselves have leaf blowers, so it all kind of ties together. So who were the Martians, anyway? They know all, they see all, but how...
They were hack comedians?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they were all... hack comedians.
Every single one of them, stars of the comedy world, like Vic Dunlop, who plays the large, incredibly annoying alien.
Yeah, there are two main aliens. One of them is him, who is, like, the poor man's Dom DeLuise.
Yeah.
And the other major alien is played by a guy named Barry Sobel, who was basically the model for Tom Hanks' character in Punchline. And he's more of an animated guy. He's more of a smarmy guy. He's a skinny, kind of handsome-looking guy.
Mm.
You said he was kind of like Seinfeld.
He reminds me of... He has the Seinfeld cadence. He tries to... especially when he's by himself,
capering
in front of people.
At one point, he even said, "What is the deal?"
He's like, "What's the deal with you, Earthlings?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Earthlings? Why are they not omniscient?
Yeah.
Like, the first scene where we're introduced to him at By the way, we should mention Randy Quaid, his job, he's a music composer, and that'll kind of come up, not just for later in the movie, for
it
plot,
matters.
Well, plot in air quotes, but also just a weird comment on how the movie is scored. He's apparently a pretty well-off producer, too. His house, his main house, is baller apartment.
Oh, yeah.
It's hung with all this amazing art by his girlfriend. All paintings of food.
Tons of electronics, baby grand piano.
Well, he needs that electronics and piano and stuff for his job. You know, he writes that off on taxes.
But it's one of those really nice, like, sort of loft open concepts.
Yeah, like, you know, he's obviously got money, and even more money because he owns a cabin in the woods.
As well.
Yeah. Which is where he goes to write stuff.
Yes.
And this is unfortunately where the aliens first make contact with him. And it starts, of course, by what is supposed to be a funny scene where they scream at each other's face. And this is the first thing that made me think that Mr. Sobel is really just trying to channel Mr. Seinfeld in a
very poor man's way.
Doing the, oh, are we done with the skit yet?
It's kind of like Seinfeld crossed with Bob Saget, but like 25 years old.
Basically.
So kind of cockier than either of those two guys.
So there's so the whole reason the aliens come is because Randy Quaid is a composer. And one of his employer's friends comes up to him. He's like, hey, I've got a really good idea for this, like, wedding show where I degrade women and make them, like, run through mud for a wedding ring, right? Something like that. And he's like,
he didn't literally say, I degrade women.
No, I'm paraphrasing.
The subtext was there.
I am paraphrasing. Because there are very funny parts of this movie, then they're very, like, weirdly, like,
cringeworthy,
like, misogynistic. There's a lot of rapey stuff in here, and, like, there's just some stuff that I don't like, and this is one of those things.
It goes from, like, gentle, you know, misogyny, which is bad enough, to
just casual misogyny.
Unacceptable rape jokes,
There are things that I can forgive because of the times. This is, like, the early 90s, and there's a lot of stuff that people didn't know about just how to treat other people.
It was a different world all those centuries ago.
It was, like, 30 plus years ago. Yeah. 20 plus years ago? 20 plus years ago.
30 minus years ago.
Yeah. So, but it was 20 plus years ago, 30 minus years ago, and things were different.
In the year 2525.
Yeah, which is also in this movie, the song. Anyway, so the Randy Quaid's employer slash friend slash the boyfriend from Frozen Assets like, hey, I have this TV show, and I need you to do some composing for it. So Randy Quaid goes up with a bottle of vodka to his cabin in the woods, and he's like downing his vodka, and he's trying to think of a song, and he's like, you know, coming up with something. And he comes up with the best song that he somehow accidentally plays over his girlfriend's radio show. Yeah. His girlfriend is the assistant to this therapist who has a radio show. And he calls her, but she's busy.
Yeah, well, she's running all the boards. She's, like, answering the phones at this radio station.
And she's doing something. And so he plays this song for her. And somehow this song calls the aliens down to Earth.
Yeah, because, you know, they've just kind of been listening for the perfect music to come down and enjoy Earth. Yeah. They've been waiting for it.
It's a very close encounters-y, like a weird...
You know, they've been watching us forever, so, you know, all the events in human history, you know, have just kind of gone by the wayside. Like, the atomic bomb, that's nothing. The internet, fuck that. Oh, wait, this song about alien shit? Oh, I'm going to Earth.
And they've been watching everything. They don't miss a beat. Like, they're not questioning, like, what anything is. They know what everything is.
They speak our language immediately.
I mean, and they've got, like, our mannerisms down perfectly. They understand that alarm clocks are meant to be annoying and they wake you up. They know that, like, you know, if you wear a lei, you look like an asshole.
And guys, can I tell you something? These aliens, these Martians.
They know how to party.
They look exactly like us.
Oh, yeah.
But they're green. They're green and they wear green clothes, too.
The fashion.
And such a variety of green clothes. That was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like, it seems like, you know, their fashion trends are exactly what they would be in the 90s.
When was the troll doll necklace popular in the 90s?
80s? Late 80s.
Late 80s.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw B.A. Baracus wearing one.
When did it come out?
April 1990.
Okay. So, I mean, it was still at the peak of its popularity. I think it was still a thing.
The troll doll?
Yeah, I think it was still a thing.
Yeah, it was definitely. Yeah.
And, you know, Run DMC was a thing. And
there's definitely a Run DMC outfit.
Yep.
A total just rip-off of...
Vic Dunlop, the husky Martian, has the best costumes. He switches hats willy-nilly. He was wearing Eric Cartman's hat at one point.
Yeah.
He had the bucket hat, like the overweight rapper guy.
He even had that weird, that beanie that had the little helicopter.
The beanie with the propeller on the top.
Yeah,
the
helicopter.
The propeller beanie. Yeah.
None of his
one of those things that you wore back in the 90s, too, like, describe, like, hey, if you want to be, like, picked on, you wear one of those things.
Yeah. It's more like what you would wear if you were the village idiot.
Yeah.
So none of these weird costumes are ever commented on. Lots of little details in this movie are very carefully done and never commented on, which is nice.
And there's no purpose to them, because they're not trying to blend in anywhere. Yeah. They're just very green, and they're not hiding that they're Martians at all.
They could have easily had all the Martians just wear exactly the same green outfit, but no, they mixed it up.
One thing that I appreciate about this movie that was different than most, like, sort of alien movies like this, like alien comedies, was that everybody saw the Martians. The Martians were very much out there. And there was, because usually in, like, these kind of movies, you would, like, have one person who knew of these Martians but had to hide one, you know?
Yeah.
It's always, like, a very, like, oh my god, everybody's gonna find out. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
But I don't appreciate that, like, they don't actually go into trying to deal with these Martian people. It's just basically the Martians take over. They ruin everything for everybody because they make everybody tell the truth, and they basically put everybody's, like, secrets and shit on blast.
Yeah, and by the way, like, when they make people tell the truth, they troll the shit out of the world. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what they are. These are modern, are what we would call today trolls. Just people who just come up and just mess with people.
Well, they dox these people. They find out all the details of their life, and they reveal them to the public.
This is basically, like, if Mars was full of, like, 4chaners. people who, they just...
It's amazing.
Mars is basically 4chan.
Basically. They just found everything out about these people. Everything.
Because Randy Quaid's girlfriend works for this radio psychiatrist who's a parody of Dr. Joy's brothers, I think. And, you know, her whole shtick is that she's really soft-spoken and is very calm all the time. And then the Martian shows up and tells a bunch of the stereotypical crazy people in her waiting room that she's actually used to be a gypsy fortune teller and all her diplomas are fakes.
And I'll take it back. I think this was the first time where I got kind of like, I started getting that weird, like, I felt...
Yeah, they were very mean to her.
I was very cringy about this. It was mostly about the portrayal of people with mental health issues.
Oh, yeah.
I was not okay.
It's like the stereotypical early 90s picture of what you imagine, people imagine crazy people were like.
It's like stereotypical like early 60s.
Rocking back and forth.
Yeah, there was like one woman who
was shaking uncontrollably.
One woman was just like, had a loaf of bread that she was just eating.
Yeah.
Which
I'm
like,
surprised there wasn't a guy dressed up as Napoleon in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there was a guy. I think it may have been Matthew McConaughey, just like in a bathrobe and a cigar in his mouth.
Yeah, it was very stereotypical and outlandish for no real comedic effect.
And the treatment of the people, like the treatment of the people in the waiting room, is like the
bubble.
The Martian is just like going up to the guy shaking, just like, hey, stop shaking, man, chill out. Like,
but like the Martian comes in and just makes fun of these people who have mental health issues. Which is also just not cool.
Yeah, you know, it has all the joy of, you know, going into an actual mental institution and just going like, hey, you guys want to get crazy? Ah, I'm going to start screaming in your face!
Yeah.
That's literally the humor. Yeah,
what the director told every single actor playing a Martian was, do this as big as possible.
Yeah.
Talk as loud as possible. Lots of arm gestures.
Yeah. And all the Martians also could teleport. They knew everything, they could see everything, hear everything.
Actually,
they could also teleport anywhere they wanted to, and they would make like their own special sound effects whenever they teleported. Like the fat one would make like this farting sound effect when he because he was fat.
Yeah, another guy made like an explosion noise.
There was like a boing like noise.
Yeah, boing.
So do you think they were doing that intentionally?
I don't know.
Or was it actually
part
was
of the musical
this.
Soundtrack to the movie?
Yeah.
That comes up again, like whether the sound is, you know, diegetic or not, it's very, very difficult to tell. But I just thought about this when we're talking about teleporting Martians. I think there's precedent for teleporting Martians.
Oh.
Benny, you remember.
Okay.
In which of our other movies said teleporting Martians?
Not in our movies, but in the Flintstones.
Oh.
That's right.
Remember?
Yeah.
Right.
He was green.
He was a Martian, and he teleported.
He floated
all the time.
In the air. These guys don't do that.
Tingle?
He didn't.
Great Gazoo.
Tingle is from that Legend of Zelda game.
Yeah, that's what.
But
he
always did, like, you know, appear and disappear frequently.
Yeah,
whenever
that's true.
You know, Fred would talk to him, he would disappear when someone came around because,
right.
Of course, he didn't want people to think he was crazy.
And this movie did have a cartoon in the trailer, so
it did have a cartoon in the trailer.
Babar.
Yeah.
It also had a cartoon at the end credits when they're just but. We'll get to that later.
Was this the Babar movie that had the Great Gazoo in it?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Starring.
Here's how you overthrow your father, my good boy. You want to be the Elephant King.
So,
the Great Gazoo, like, tell Fred how to destroy his enemies? I don't remember what he did.
He just got him into trouble. Hijinks. You're just doing normal hijinks.
Like these Martians.
So they cause so much trouble with making people tell the truth.
They don't make people tell the truth. Well, they just tell the truth about the
people. They don't make people tell the truth. They just put all of the truth about these people on blast.
Yeah.
In very public ways.
They send out these blast faxes to all the news outlets.
And they, like, at one point, like, someone, one of them goes on to a news station while this newscaster is reporting the news.
A recurring theme.
Yeah. And just puts all of her secrets out on blast, like, if you know, about how she's sleeping with, like, the director or something like that.
I missed that part.
Yeah. And then the Martian takes over the news.
Yeah.
So that they do this, but to everybody. And it gets to the point where, like, the Martians are such, like, buzzkills because they're ruining everybody's lives with their secret telling that nobody goes anywhere anymore. They even show, like, you know, all the beaches are all, like, deserted. There's a stadium that's
rolling down Rodeo Drive.
Yeah, there's a stadium that's just completely empty. And there's, like, the voiceover that even says, like, and no one had any place to have fun or secrets anymore.
Yeah. People's secrets have been hijacked to the point where no one even cares anymore. They don't even try.
And this was with a title on the screen that said, 3 weeks later.
Yeah, 3 weeks later. It only took the aliens 3 weeks.
To just completely shut down.
That was one of the fastest apocalypses in movie history, and that's with no violence on part of the aliens.
Yeah, I mean, like, it gets so bad that, like, you know, Randy Quaid is at a bar drinking alone, listening to the news being interrupted by Martians, and one of his old friends comes in, and he's hawking video of TV before the Martians came, and he's talking about, like, hey man, I got a Knicks game before the Martians started hanging on the rim and stuff.
Yeah, imagine watching a Knicks game. Yeah.
And he's like, I've got a copy of the news where you can actually hear the news.
I mean, they're talking about, like, this is the biggest deal ever. Like,
yeah. $20 a day.
Remember what things were like back in the good old days?
Yeah, of 3 weeks ago.
We can barely remember those days now.
Society has, like, completely degenerated. Randy has lost all of his money in the stock market. His friends don't have any jobs. The old smarmy movie producer has completely lost his shit. He has nothing anymore.
Yeah, the Martians have convinced the audiences to loot the sets of all of his TV shows. Somehow.
Yeah, which somehow didn't seem like it took too much to
It really goes against the Martians' general MO. Causing physical mayhem. They weren't doing that at any other point.
Yeah, they were really just, you know, kind of just trolling people.
No, they caused physical mayhem. They caused Randy to crash.
Yeah, they caused a car crash.
They're not against, like, mayhem at all. They're complete anarchists.
Scene where, this car crash, because I think it is one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
It was good. It was funny.
It's the first time you meet the Martians. They come to Randy Quaid's house. They kind of explain that he's an actual Martian, and this is when you first learn that they know everything. He's telling Randy how there's somebody at his house right now robbing all of his stuff, and he should probably get back home. So of course he, you know, takes the advice of a green man who just appeared in front of him, starts speeding down the road, and the Martian reappears in his car, freaks him out. He causes a car accident with a cop and a hippie. And
this all sounds like nonsense.
This all sounds like nonsense.
Yeah. But they show this hippie earlier explaining to the cop what happened in this car accident, and you think, where is this going? And then Randy Quaid crashes his car into the hippie's car.
Yeah, and what looks like an actually serious car accident where somebody should at least be broken, but whatever.
Nope.
Well, Randy Quaid, by his proximity to the aliens, was granted immortality, is my hypothesis. And so they annoy people, but they also have even better powers.
So Randy Quaid gets out of his car and, you know, goes into his freak out mode. He's like, you know, you told me about a guy robbing my house and how I should get out there, and you caused me to have a car accident. And he's banging on his hood of his car. He's screaming and stuff. This is just like, think about what Randy Quaid is going to be in 10 years. And this is pretty much him practicing for his eventual future. He decides he's going to steal the cop car because it was somewhat undamaged and his car is messed up.
Yes.
So he gets into the cop car. And
the cop notices?
Yeah, he's noticing. He's just, like, standing with the hippie because, you know, he's priority number one. He's a hippie.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, stop.
Yeah,
he does. Get that out.
Yeah.
It's like he's telling, like, an 8-year-old kid to, like, get away from a fire hydrant or
basically
something.
He follows up, you know, this super extreme, intense dialogue. Not at all.
Yeah.
By pulling out a gun and then, like, no aim shooting Randy Quaid in the arm as he's driving off in the cop car to, like, a delayed blood explosion from his arm that looked like the squib went off too late.
It's basically the same. Like, if you've if you're a cat owner, you've probably gone through this yourself. You as the cop, where you're trying to stop your cat from doing something, but you're kind of lazy about it. You're like, hey, stop.
It's because you know the cat's not going to do what you say.
Well, yeah, don't. And then you just get out the water gun and shoot him lazily.
Yeah, exactly. Stop it.
Yep.
That's kind of, mission accomplished.
That's kind of what this cop did, but with a human and a real gun.
Yeah, Randy Quaid eventually gets to his house, and he meets the burglar, which we didn't even realize he was a burglar at first. We just thought he was, like, one of Randy Quaid's friends.
He's a really good-looking burglar.
Super handsome-looking, like, kind of...
well-dressed, and, like...
Yeah. Well-spoken, very...
Kind of Dan Cortez-looking
guy.
Had,
like, nice muscles. Yeah. No, he's built, and he was, like, he had, like, the nice, the wave.
Wavy hair.
Oh, wavy hair.
Played by actor John Philbin, by the way. It's worth mentioning, because he actually seems like he should have done something beyond this movie, but it doesn't look like he really did.
So this burglar, who was egged on by another Martian, was stealing Randy Quaid's stuff, including his precious, like, 78
records. Yeah, because early in the movie, when Randy Quaid's talking to his sleazy friend is, like, using one of his precious record albums as a writing desk or something, and you see that Randy Quaid is actually, like, a soulful jazz lover, because he says, no, that's a Bix Beiderbecke record, that's worth $500, so you know that he's not just a hack composer. He has interest in real music.
He knows his stuff.
Granted, he is a hack composer, because what was the movie... What was
the TV show?
TV show he was...
Transfer to Danger.
Yeah.
Which is a very high-concept TV show that he composed for, wherein a cop lost his license, so he had to take the bus
everywhere.
To different crime scenes and stuff, and so he would... Randy Quaid would compose all the chase scenes that would happen on the bus.
Yeah.
Which... As ridiculous as a premise that sounds, there is a show today, or at least in 2014, I have no idea if they picked up for a second season. I really hope they didn't. But there is a show today that's based on a cop who cannot drive, and therefore relies on a taxi cab driver called Taxi Brooklyn.
Yeah, the thing about that show is it's always the same cab driver. So basically, he's just working for the police. So how is that interesting at all?
Well, hey, I mean,
I'm not saying it's interesting. I'm saying that it exists, and it's way too close to this comedy, like, plot for a stupid show to exist. I'm saying it's ridiculous.
Oh, it is eerily similar.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about, like, when he gets to his house and he sees the burglar. Basically, they become friends within, like, 5 seconds.
Well, they become friends because they somewhat realize that, like, the Martians are, like, playing them both.
Like, trolling both of them hard.
Because Randy Quaid comes in and the Martian and the burglar are there, and it's obvious that the Martian's just a dickhead. Because Randy Quaid's dealt with another Martian who's also a dickhead.
Yeah.
And plus, he's noticed a pattern. Yeah, Randy Quaid is shot, and the burglar is like, oh,
bleeding
my gosh.
Black blood,
yeah,
by the
bleeding
way.
Black blood. He just bleeds tar.
Big
and,
black bugs bleed blue blood.
Sure. And so he's shot, and the burglar's like, oh my god, you're shot. Like, I can help you with that. My brother's in prison.
Yeah, I know how to do this. My brother's in prison.
Yes.
It's silly jokes like that that actually work.
That was way
better in this movie than any of the capering and antics of almost any Martian.
Yeah, there are really two types of humor in this movie. It's like really like a well-scripted comedy, like the Descendant of Marx Brothers type stuff. And then there's also the stand-up comedy stuff that just goes nowhere and is mostly making fun of people.
At its best and offensive at its worst.
There are a couple good scenes with this burglar, but I really like the scene where he's patched Randy Quaid up, and they're having kind of like a bro heart, like kind of a heart to heart. I don't know.
They're drinking together.
Yeah, drinking bottles.
Yes.
Booze
and... So they're watching. I think they might be watching Transfer to Danger. And
he's like, "This is my show."
The burglar is explaining, like, you know, I should probably quit trying to be a burglar because I'm not very good at it. I keep getting caught. And he's like, "But I have this dream of being a gentleman burglar. I just want to go to fancy parties and woo women, and then go upstairs and steal their things." It's so sweet that this guy just wants to be a gentleman burglar. That's his dream, is to be a gentleman burglar.
The gentleman burger ruffles.
Yeah, this makes us realize that, like, you know, they make fun of movies like Roadhouse. Like, how is there a famous bouncer in the world?
Yeah.
But then you think about, you know, movies like To Catch a Thief. Cary Grant plays, like, a famous burglar. There are not any famous burglars in the real world.
Yeah.
That is a fictional device as well.
There's guys who stole a lot of stuff and went to jail. That's a famous burglar.
Yeah, so he talks about ruffles, because first he's making a reference to the famous character in a series of novels from, like, 90 years ago, Raffles, which he would have no idea what that is. But he made a reference to ruffles.
I don't know, man. It's going to be pretty tough breaking into a place with these Martian guys always coming around. I really wasn't doing too good at it anyway. I kept getting caught and stuff. I wanted to make it big, man. You know, I wanted to be hot. I wanted to be a gentleman burglar, you know? Go to those really fancy parties, wear a tuxedo, hobnob with all the beautiful, glamorous women, and go upstairs, steal all their jewelry. Like Ruffles.
That's Raffles. Ruffles is a potato chip.
Apparently, there are two other appearances of Ruffles potato chips in this movie.
Yeah, there is a lot of product placement in this movie. Yeah. There's so much that in the end credits, I wanted to take a picture of how many there were, but there were too many to fit in one screen.
Yeah. You'd have to do the panoramic picture for
them. Yeah, it was insanity. Like, UPS was in here, Yamaha was in here, closet company was in here.
Pinless Motor Scooters by Honda, Mountain Dew, Captain Crunch, and Atari.
Yeah, three different types of keyboards.
Pepsi?
Yamaha, Atari, and Korg keyboards were thick.
Korg? Yeah.
They were hawking a lot of shit in this movie. This movie was funded by, ads.
They couldn't sell shit fast enough in this movie.
Yeah, the best credit in there was Closet by the California Closet Company.
Yeah. And,
so if you're in California and you need yourself a closet,
there's only one place
to go. Look no further.
So at one point, they start watching. This is after the Martians come. Before the three-week cut.
Yeah.
Randy Quaid's watching Name Your Price, which is a ripoff of Price is Right, basically. And so this TV show is happening, and this woman who's probably in her late 50s, early 60s, she's bigger, but who fucking cares because she's like a grandma.
Yeah.
She's on there. She's going to do some bonus round. She's going to do some game.
They put her in a soundproof booth.
Then, boom. Fucking Martian shows up, and he just flips the goddamn script on everybody.
And, I mean, it starts out kind of humorous, but I mean, because he's making fun of the announcer, if she's in a soundproof box, why are you whispering, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even believe you. Hey, if you were screaming, then maybe, but...
What's the deal with soundproof boxes? And
so he makes fun of the host, which is fine. Then the Martian starts yelling, but he starts yelling just a bunch of really awful, fat jokes about this woman. Just schoolyard, Yo mama, caliber, fat jokes. And just a minute of them. For way too long.
He does not stop.
To eliminate the chance of coaching, we have placed Mrs. Henderson into a soundproof booth.
If it's soundproof, why are you whispering? I wouldn't believe the guy unless he yelled, soundproof booth! This is the fattest lady we've ever had on the show. She's a pig. She's got her own zip code. She's her own voting district. She's blocking the driveway. When she goes to Kentucky Fried Chicken, she licks everyone's fingers.
It starts off with making fun of an older woman being fat for about a minute, and then he goes over to one of the ladies who's one of the stage girls.
Yeah, they're Barker's Beauty type character.
And then starts saying that he needs a freak.
Yeah, and she is the freak.
And he grabs her, and she's screaming, and they cut away, and she keeps screaming. So this starts with him making fun of an old lady for being fat, and then him apparently sexually assaulting a woman.
Yeah, and you just hear her screaming because at a certain point they eventually cut away and cut back to Randy and the thief, drinking on the couch,
buddies.
Looking at what the hell are we watching?
Yeah.
I guess an on-air rape, apparently, because she's still screaming in the background.
And is there one show that doesn't have Martians on it nowadays?
Yeah, so this is my other...
What about the other sexual
assault? We might as well get that out of the way.
Yeah, might as well
this
do
is,
it.
So this is the other that it just was upsetting, and I was I don't, this isn't fun. So the bigger Martian. Yeah.
The husky Martian.
Yeah, I'm going to call him the Rev Run Martian. So he's talking to Randy Quaid at some point, but then he keeps getting distracted. He's there's a lady, and she's naked, and she's getting out of the shower right now. So he's I got to go. He pops on over to some rando's house, and she's a blonde Hollywood babe.
Yeah.
She's in a towel, just got out of the bath, she's in a towel, and then in pops in this fat, stupid Martian.
Literally with his hands in the boob squeeze position.
He's ready to just do stuff to her.
To be fair, it's also the jazz hands position. He is a showman, this Martian.
Sure. So the next shot they show is she's screaming, and then next shot she's running through, and she's running past the front of Randy Quaid's house down this alleyway.
Yeah.
And she's running. He's chasing her. He's in a green towel now.
Yeah, that's right. He got naked.
Yes. He's ready. So he's chasing her down. The gentleman burglar is outside in the cop car. In a cop outfit now. because Randy Quaid let him borrow the cop car.
I think he's wearing a cop jacket over his Red Hot Chili Peppers t-shirt.
Maybe. Yeah. So he's there talking to Randy Quaid's girlfriend or wife, whoever. And then this blonde woman in a towel is screaming and running with this Martian who's also in a towel running after her. And then he grabs her towel and rips it off as she's running. And you do get to see boobies, but they don't feel good. They're not feel-good boobies because she's fucking terrified that she's gonna get raped by this Martian.
Yeah,
and it's not fun or funny or anything.
No, it's one of these scenes that, Mike here, he has a lot of books, One what? In particular is the Bare Facts, which talks about the you know nude scenes in movies.
Yeah. So we have the 1996 edition of the Bare Facts video guide. Yep. Where to find your favorite actors and actresses nude on home video.
Important information.
This movie's not in there, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope this movie's not in there, and I hope it's not in there, not because it's too obscure to even mention, but because that is, like, non-consensual breast, and no one should be seeing that in the first place.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's...
Yeah. I think she was not credited, so she doesn't end up in the book, because they don't know who she was.
Yeah.
I guess people still kind of thought that that was like, oh, hey, I'm seeing some breasts. Who cares how I saw them? Yeah. Doesn't matter if they were consensual or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a lot of this, you know, if you were in the time, you might laugh, but now you realize...
It doesn't carry over.
It doesn't carry over at all. And even back then, a lot of the jokes are kind of tasteless, crass, and just mean-spirited to the core. Well,
the thing is, it's like the kind of same kind of thing that Rodney Dangerfield says throughout movies like Back to School.
Yeah.
But he only says, like, one insult to a certain person and then moves on to a different person.
And it's, you know, and it's an insult, you know, it's a joke insult to a person as opposed to a straight-up sexual assault that is meant for comedic value.
But when the Martians are not committing sexual assaults, they are exemplifying an odd, naive innocence about sex. As seen in the scene where they want to witness people having sex because they don't know how it works.
Yeah, there is a I don't know. It's funny, but Rob Schneider's in it.
So it's funny.
We really enjoyed the fact that Rob Schneider was in it.
That was the tagline for most Rob Schneider movies.
I'm sorry, Rob Schneider. I love you.
I don't know if it's funny, but Rob Schneider's in it.
I love you, my fellow
half Filipino. Yeah. How many
half
of them
American?
Are there out there?
Not that
in
many.
There.
So anyway, so there's a scene where Randy Quaid and his wife girlfriend are in bed and they're like doing things that couples do or getting started on doing
sex
things
stuff.
A couple.
It's sex stuff.
Yeah.
So not like doing their taxes.
They were balancing their checkbooks. So they're getting started on doing sex, right? And then all of a sudden they hear a bunch of fucking Martians talk like being spectators talking about what's happening.
Yeah, sitting on the couch eating popcorn.
Yeah, because these Martians
green
are
popcorn,
yeah, eating their green popcorn on the couch, and Rob Schneider's one of them. And
one of them's wearing a Sock It To Me t-shirt.
Yeah, and so they're just excited to see what sex is like. And Randy Quaid's girlfriend, this is the best line of the whole fucking
exactly?
movie. Like, this whole, I don't understand her position, like, in most of anything. I don't know her as a person at all.
She's a weirdo. She's the straight woman in this movie.
No. Because she's like, I don't know if I can do this. Once the Martians show up and start watching.
Yeah. Like, seriously questioning, like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, not...
She doesn't bail out.
I don't
want to
do this.
Not, there are four strange men in the room now watching us having sex, or trying to have sex. We're not doing this anymore because that's fucking weird. I don't know if I can do this.
It is delivered in a, I'm seriously thinking about it.
I'm considering it.
But I'm not sure if I will be able to do it.
So she then tries to reason with the aliens, like, hey, we're trying to, like, have a private time. The aliens are like, we're trying to watch sex. Like, you know, why do you think we're here? So then Randy Quaid's girlfriend /wife is like, well, what if we turn the lights off? Because...
Yeah,
so they turn the lights off.
Because the Martians didn't bring a bunch of miners' helmets with lights on the front of their heads.
And that's exactly what happens. They turn the lights off, and they actually start going at it, and then the Martians turn on their little, like, miner helmet, like, lamps, and start being even louder and more obnoxious about it.
Yes.
And then they get no pleasure from that, because they then stop trying to do it. And then there's another group of Martians that go into the living room because for whatever reason...
The thief from earlier has decided to break back into the house because he doesn't know where else to go.
Yeah.
And he already broke into this place once.
This guy's my friend now. He'll let me rob him.
Exactly. Yeah. And this also is Randy's girlfriend, wife, her boss...
The radio psychiatrist.
Who's, you know, all of her laundry's been aired, and she's been revealed as a fraud and
she's
a fake
ousted.
And a gypsy, basically.
Yep.
You know, she can't even get into
and
her
a southerner?
Anymore.
Yeah, and a southerner? She suddenly adopts a southern accent when it turns out she's...
She's a fake?
Yeah. I guess to, you know, show how she's a true dyed-in-the-wool con man.
I guess.
She decides to just, like, knock on the door, and the thief lets him in because he's like, well, I'm basically a guest here. I might as well.
Yeah.
You seem like you know
the more the merrier. Help me steal stuff. Hide the stuff in your bra.
So this gentleman burglar and this Laura Schlesinger type are on the couch And she's trying to have a conversation with him because she's like, you know, we're on the couch together. We should have a conversation. Yeah. And then he just keeps saying the dumbest shit ever. And she's like, maybe we don't need to talk, which was also hilarious.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. He, like, she says, like, I'm such a fraud. I made Ivan Boesky look like Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Ivan Boesky, by the way, a bit of a dated reference.
A bit.
and then he says, you mean you were doing sex change operations?
Yeah. And then she's like,
let's stop talking.
So they stop talking, and then these aliens show up. Not the same ones that were in the bedroom trying to watch. No, they weren't.
No, there wasn't. No Rob Schneider, and Run DMC alien was back.
They were casted differently, right. too. There were the voyeur Martians, and then there were the cheering Martians.
Oh, yeah,
the
sex-cheering
Martians. The sex-cheering Martians were the ones where Laura Schlesinger and...
She is into having the Martians watch her.
Yes, she's into it. She's down. She's like, eat your hearts out.
And this is when we confirm that, like, Martians don't apparently have sex. They have no idea what this whole thing is. So, I mean, like...
I don't... Like,
well, there were only two female Martians, and there are singers in that band.
Yeah, so I guess they don't really have sex, but they enjoy watching humans have sex?
Yeah.
Either way, that downstairs crew was totally game for this.
Yeah.
It didn't faze them at all, and in fact, they confirmed the next day that it was actually, it was a nice addition. It made it better, somehow.
Yeah, the Martians had pom-poms. Like, they were really into it.
Yeah, they were cheering along and everything.
They were super into it. Yeah. So that was weird. There was some weird sex party going on downstairs in Randy Quaid's house that he didn't even know about.
I like the gentleman thief's comment of, like, oh, it's really nice, though. It's kind of good. They give you pointers. Like, I don't need pointers. No, really, they do help out a lot. I mean, pretty useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that ends...
That's the extent of the sex stuff in the movie.
Yeah, about... I really didn't understand a lot of the Earth references, but I'm just assuming that they knew everything about everyone.
Well, they learned how we behave from watching HBO stand-up specials.
Where none of the comedians were featured, because if they were, you would have laughed sometimes.
Well, going to the Wikipedia pages for all these comedians, none of whom I'd ever heard of before except Bobby Slayton. I mean, every single one of them, it says, like, in the third sentence, he portrayed himself on Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. So I had no idea he had so many comedians on there, aside from the big-name ones.
There aren't a lot of big-name comedians. Like, they're...
Schneider is the biggest...
This is his first role in a movie.
His first movie.
Yeah, he's the only one who really, like... did anything post this that was, like, really noteworthy.
Of note,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
There's Lee Ehrenberg, who was the really short, angry guy in a few episodes of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And who plays the really short, angry, bald Martian in this movie. He was instantly recognizable.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually, he's probably one of the better Martians in this movie.
There's a guy named Gary Muledeer and Bruce Baum were the sex cheer Martians. Bruce Baum is a weird guy with a mustache. Looks exactly like David Crosby. I sort of recognize him.
Ah, I do remember him.
But, you know, these are not their creme de la comedians.
So I was thinking of, like, what would be a good alternate title for this movie. And,
yeah, I've got one, actually.
The only one that I could really think of that came to mind was, Rapey Martians Go Home. That's all I felt. A lot of times I just felt like that way. Or, like, Jerk Martians Go Home. Yeah. Like, we'll keep the Spuds McKenzie Martian, but...
We'll keep him.
The rest of you. Oh, you know what? What was your title?
Martians No Means No.
That's good, too.
Oh, that is excellent.
Did you think of anything, Daryl?
We're not required to do that anymore.
No,
yeah,
we're not required to.
I probably would be some comment on how this is not a sex tape starring Randy Quaid. It's a movie starring Randy Quaid, which is a huge departure from what he's usually known for now.
Oscar-nominated Randy Quaid.
Oscar-nominated,
He was billed as Oscar-nominated in the trailer, which is probably one of the only times he was billed as Oscar-nominated.
Well, unlike Rob Schneider in this movie, he was Oscar-nominated for what I think was his first role in The Last Detail. Very serious Vietnam drama.
Yeah.
I like that movie. That's good.
So one time he was a respected actor.
Yeah. And then 1999 came along.
So you're probably wondering how this movie gets resolved. Movie gets resolved in really care to make it
wacky
make
manner.
Sense.
In fact, it's not even until, like, you know, pretty late into the movie where it seems humans are finally starting to wonder, like, hey, how do we get rid of these fucking Martians?
No.
You know, they've been here for at least 3 weeks at this point.
Well, the thing is, the president, Ronnie Cox, is about to give a speech at the end of this movie. And you think, why doesn't he try to communicate with the Martian leader? They have no leaders.
Well, without any sort of premise to it, or without any sort of, like, reason to it, Randy Quaid just has a realization. The way to make them go home is to play the music that I played to make them come here backwards. Because if you play something reverse, then that cancels out playing it
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Like, if you play Helter Skelter backwards, all the Charlie Manson unmurdered? Stuff goes away.
If you say Mr. Mixes Pitlick's name backwards, he disappears, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's what happens if you say Mixes Pitlick.
Like if you say racism backwards, it doesn't exist anymore.
And I guess somebody obviously said it because it doesn't exist anymore.
The C car.
Now.
Didn't work.
Are you still racist, Mike?
I meant the concept.
Is that what you were getting at?
I don't believe I was ever racist in this lifetime.
Maybe a previous one.
Well, yeah, when I was a southern planter.
Now, when we get to, like, the, you know, solutions to how to make the aliens go away, there's a scene where Randy's watching television and he's listening to, like, you know, various, you know, people's ideas of how the Martians could get here.
Yeah.
Hilarious part. They talk about, like, the Christian view, the super science view, this new age woman view.
That wasn't the super science view. That was the Scientologist view.
No, I didn't get to the Scientologist view or the Scientopathy.
Yeah.
And it is clearly a jab at Scientology, where they even dress up in the captain's suits.
Yeah, the pseudo-naval uniform type things.
Yes, and their solution is just that, hey, we told you aliens were here. They're here.
It's true.
I can see it.
Now, by Dianetics.
Yeah, so, how does he figure out that it's the music?
Well, it's weird, because it doesn't really explain, but he does go through, like, this weird logic where he realizes, wait a minute, everybody's saying that the aliens got here at like 6:15 in the morning, but the one alien that talked to me said, hey, wake up, it's 5:30 a.m. Yeah. So why did they come to me first?
So I was patient zero.
Yeah, so they must have come because I played the music. Yeah. So if I play the music backwards, then they'll leave.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's Randy Quaid. We'll just...
Look, to be fair, if I discovered that me playing music caused the aliens to appear, my first thought would be play the music backwards. Well, what else can you do? Write up some new music?
Yeah, to be fair, like, because the Martians can teleport around at will, there's no way to, like, kill them. Yeah. There's no, like, they demonstrate in the beginning that if you try to shoot them, they'll just teleport away and fuck you. Yeah. Like, you can't really, there's nothing that you can do against them.
They're like Jake the dog.
Very much.
Yeah, they know all and can do everything.
I do have a question, though. The Martians, they snap when they teleport. It seems like they always snap whenever they teleport. How does the Spuds McKenzie dog do it? Because he can't snap. He's a dog. How does he teleport around? Does he just, like, clench his teeth together? He
makes, like, the toenail noises walking across the
wooden
floor.
Oh, yeah, he tip-taps.
Yeah, when he's, like, clicking across the floor, it's just, like, it just looks like life is glitching out. Yeah. He's moving.
More importantly, how does this Buzz McKenzie dog annoy people? Because
it seems impossible.
The raison d'etre of these Martians is to annoy people.
Well, he was on a beach, so I assume he's going to, like, you know, try to, like, bite girls' panties and make them come down, like, in the
copper tone.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
there's plenty of ways you can
girls are going to find that annoying, because that's cute. When
exactly. Like, oh, I have that on my suntan lotion.
Well, but he's not, like, a chihuahua or something. He's the original party dog. You know, he's a very masculine dog, so that's kind of threatening when he does it.
I guess so. Probably would be.
Very threatening.
So to broadcast the music, his first idea is to patch into the broadcast of the president's speech about the aliens.
Now, by the way, I want to mention that up until he decides to rewrite, you know, to play the music backwards to get the Martians to leave, before that, he actually doesn't realize that his music went out over the airwaves that night. Because he is playing this music, it goes out over the airwaves, he tries to talk to his wife after to see if she liked it, or her girlfriend,
she presses the wrong button, so his thing goes over the airwaves instead of to her.
Yeah, so he thinks that she didn't listen, she hung up on him, and he goes to bed drunk, and that's where he wakes up to the Martians. He actually has no idea that it played over the airwaves. So he doesn't really even know why they came there in the first place. So I guess
he drank too much.
Yeah, he probably.
But as soon as he found out that he saw the Martians before other people did, it all fell into place for him.
Yeah.
And so
the Secret Service catches him on the lawn of the White House.
Yeah, he breaks in. He breaks in really close to, like, he gets on, like, one of the balconies at the White House, or, like, in the lawn somewhere. He gets in close enough to hook his Yamaha keyboard up to the sound system without ever going inside.
Yeah. He's just sitting beside a big window, like a voyeur in some French forest or something.
Yeah.
And then
sitting like cross-legged on the lawn playing his Yamaha keyboard.
And then a Four Tops type group of Martians come and, like, just put him on blast, and they start singing, and he's over here. Yeah.
Played by the Rose Brothers.
No.
Apparently a real group.
Yeah, I figured they were a real group.
The only African-American Martians,
of course,
are singers. It's like the only female Martians are singers.
Yeah. You
know? Well, tokenism, I call it.
Yeah. This brings us back to the beginning of the movie, because this is where the Secret Service grabs him, and then they put little nipple
they put heart monitors on his nipples.
They just have monitors on his nipples. That's the only place they have monitors.
Yeah.
So we're back into that room.
We turn to this oddly terrifying interrogation sequence.
And the Secret Service is like, whoa, like this is like really weird, the story. And then Martians pop in and they start doing some interrogating of their own.
It's so wacky interrogating.
And so Randy Quaid, they want to throw him in jail because they're like, you can't do this kind of shit.
Yeah, this is in the days before the Secret Service, you know, stopped giving a shit and just let anybody come into the White House. This is when they still gave a shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, you can't walk in here. You're going to jail now.
So Randy Quaid just starts acting like the aliens aren't around, so that he can get thrown into the loony bin. And there's actually a really funny bit/concept where, Randy Quaid's wife girlfriend comes to visit him with a very gigantic box, and she's talking to one of the doctors, and the doctor's explaining, like, yeah, we're doing everything we can.
Yeah.
We took care of his, like, ingrown toenails. We're doing all this stuff. All foot stuff. And she's like, that doesn't sound like, you know, like, that's going to help him. He's like, well, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a podiatrist.
Yeah.
And he's
all like, crazy people nowadays.
Yeah, he's like, there's a shortage of, like, mental health professionals in this field, so people from other, you know, places in the medical field are coming to fill in.
Yeah.
And so
pick up the slack,
which is actually just kind of funny. Yeah. The idea of somebody totally unqualified, just doing their own trade.
We also see him telling a nurse, just give him a few of these big red suppositories. That should help.
Yeah. just completely unqualified doctor, just doing whatever.
Yeah. So she gives him the keyboard as a gift to try to bring him back to sanity.
Yeah, and then she realizes, he explains to her, I'm not actually insane, I just didn't want to go to jail. Which was actually smart.
It was incredibly reasonable. Yes.
Oh, you poor thing, you really can't see them, can you?
The Martians? Sure I do.
What?
I didn't have any choice, Sarah. I tampered with a major presidential address. If I didn't come here, I'd be in jail right now lifting weights and joining the Muslims. That's no kind of life for me.
Yeah, so it turns out that she had stolen a bunch of broadcasting equipment.
From KNUT, the radio station.
So, they run off.
Not confused with, you know, never mind.
Yeah, yeah, Daryl thought that said something else. He transposed some of the letters, and it meant something completely different.
And you started laughing when that woman was talking about Kundalini yoga, too.
Oh, yeah, Kundalini yoga was really weird. So anyway,
not Condoleezza. Yeah.
They go.
Also not fun.
They go back to the cabin in the woods, and they set up the sound system. The aliens come back. The Martians pop in at the cabin, and they're trying to. They're really trolling at this point, and they're just being assholes. And they're like, "This isn't gonna work."
Yeah, they're uploading stupid stuff on Reddit. They're doing a hardcore right now.
Yeah, they're just doing everything.
The thing is that Randy Quaid and his girlfriend are trying to make all the Martians disappear.
Yeah.
And the Martians, to dissuade them from doing this, are not like using any physical means. They're just trying to frustrate them.
Yeah.
They're saying this is never gonna work, and they call in this great like rock band to play this melody of all the world's worst songs to distract them from the music and try to make them forget what the right music is.
Because Randy Quaid realizes I can't play the music anymore because I can't remember how it goes.
Yeah.
So I can't play it backwards if I can't remember how it goes. So they bring in all this distracting, like this band, and they play music and they do all this stuff. But then Randy Quaid remembers, and then he sends all the Martians home.
And then there is a celebration montage, which gradually turns from like your classic celebration montage into people like jitterbugging, and we're like, wait, what?
Wait, seriously?
And then they show black and white footage of people jitterbugging, and then a cartoon image of somebody ringing a giant bell.
Yeah, and then like
and that was really fun.
An old western of people just shooting in there. Yeah.
They just had like some intern go and find stock footage of people celebrating.
Yeah. Yes. Whoever had the idea of saying, you know, this celebration montage is just generic. We need to make it totally weird.
And then it
was a really good idea.
It was.
And then after the credits where they list people as humans and Martians and then everybody else, we notice in the credits there are Venusians. And we were like, what? There weren't any people from Venus here. And then there's a stinger.
Yeah.
There's a brilliant stinger that it comes right out of the Mighty Boosh where there are two pods on the side of a tree in this like
weird
forest that's like
Venusian forest, I guess.
And these pods open up to reveal faces, and these pods look very much like vaginas. They look, there's nothing other
there's
than...
There's no beating around the bush, pun intended. They are vaginas.
No, and they are, like, pulsating, or, like, undulating, and, like, moving around.
And they have these really circular white tongues.
Well, I think they were eyes.
Are those musical instruments?
I think those are, like, eyes or something. Cause,
yeah, like, they were, it looked like they were rolling their tongues. Like, you know, if you try to
roll...
They look
like eyes or tongues, or, like, they look... I thought they had, like, little tubes in their mouths making that noise. Because they were making some weird noise.
And what was this noise? It was the music to summon the Martians.
Yeah, it was like a whistling, and it was the same music. And then the Martians show up, and they start speaking Venusian, and they start being, like, immediately start being assholes.
Yep, yeah,
like,
immediately starts rolling
vagina tree pods that are just trying to live their lives on a tree.
Well, yeah, they're just going, like, hey, how you doing? Hey, nice pod. Hey, what are you singing there?
I think that last Martian was the angry Martian from Seinfeld, too.
Oh, yeah.
Who is actually probably the least annoying and best Martian.
Well, at least he's not smarmy. He's just angry.
Yeah, he's just angry. And he's... No, Spuds McKenzie Martian, who's just cool.
I kind of want Spuds McKenzie Martian.
Yeah, I hope that... I wonder if that dog's still alive. I mean, they said they didn't die, so... I assume he's still somewhere.
So so that's Martians Go Home.
Yeah.
You know what it should have been called? It should have been Martians... You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
You got to get the heck up on out of here.
That's what happens. They don't go home. They go to Venus.
Yes.
Yes. Oddly enough, Martians go to Jupiter to get more stupider as well.
Yeah. And some Martians go to college to get more knowledge. And other Martians go to Venus to get more penis.
Which Martians are those?
The girl ones?
There weren't any girl Martians.
There were two.
There were two.
Some Martians go to Earth to get more mirth.
some Martians. Mercury to get more, that doesn't rhyme with anything. Yeah, so did we do all of our favorite moments and least favorite moments?
Well, I think the least favorite moments are incredibly obvious.
One of the very rape scenes, I guess. My most favorite moment that hasn't been mentioned yet was during one of those radio broadcasts that was on in the background. Like, the Los Angeles Dodgers have set a new record for most errors in a game with 647. Yeah. This, like, many other little details are just
good,
in the,
like,
background. Nobody calls attention to it.
There were a lot of one-liners that were good.
Yeah, there were, you know, some of them were pretty funny. And even some of, like, not the main Martians, but some of the random background Martians that,
like, Rob
had
Schneider
things to say.
Holding up the underwear.
Yeah. Holding up some panties. Some
exactly.
Panties.
Like, those guys were funnier than the main Martians who, I mean, they really just did.
Yeah.
Unbelievably annoying.
Yeah.
Did this movie pass the Bechdel test? I think it might have.
Wait, I think it did.
The girlfriend and the psychiatrist woman, they were talking about
their jobs. They talk about a lot of stuff that is not related to men.
They do, and they're both named.
They're both named.
Yeah, because they have
They're working together. There are no men in their workplace, just those two
women.
That
doesn't count.
But
it has to be a conversation. Just because they have worked together doesn't mean, like, anything.
I guess
but there is that conversation.
Conversation.
There is that conversation when they are, the girlfriend wife is leaving. And she has her glass box.
That's right. She takes her tchotchkes from her office, which is like a pig-shaped ice bucket and a plant.
Yeah, and her ice box. They have this whole conversation, and it's really just about why she has to leave and all that kind of stuff. I don't think it mentions anything about boys.
No, doesn't it?
So, this movie weirdly
actually mentions how she's a total con artist.
Yeah.
Which
is
funny.
For a movie that posits that the entire planet of Mars is all male.
And all rapey men.
Yeah.
It actually passes the Bechdel test.
Yeah, well, you take the rough with the smooth.
Yeah.
You know what?
And we need to rank it among our rankings.
Oh, yeah. So where does this have you ranked this? Has anybody ranked this?
Okay, well, I have. This is the best comedy we've seen so far. I had really low expectations for this.
Yeah.
I thought, like, Earth Girls Are Easy, except instead of Gina Davis, it's Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be quite funny, so I'm going to put it, like, just below the mid-level. I think I'm going to put it above Splitting Hairs, Floors and Assets, and Running Out of Luck. So I guess it's 7th out of 10. But we've seen some really good movies here.
Yeah.
So,
we have.
There's not a lot of annoying stuff in it, but it's the best comedy we've seen, I think.
No. I think Frozen Assets is the best comedy that we watched.
That wasn't even the best comedy we watched starring actor Garrett Graham.
Or Corbin Burnson. Final Mission?
Yeah, that was comedy. That was comedy gold.
It was.
Yeah. Well, I think I'd have to put it... I was really struggling because, I mean, as far as the humor goes, it was actually pretty funny. And when it did hit...
Yes.
It hit the mark.
That's
it
true.
Hit the mark. Great. It's just the other things that detracted from it make it, like, I don't know if I really want to put it above Frozen Assets, which is right now my highest ranked comedy. because, like, it's like the insensitivity of dealing with people with mental diseases and
yeah, that's true.
And the rape stuff. It's just really heavy. Yeah. It's heavy on that stuff, too.
I just think as a comedy, it had a lot more unexpected stuff than Frozen Night House, which is basically a sitcom.
Yeah, but, you know, I think all that considered, I think it would have to go, probably going to be number five. It'll take out
the Gnomemobile. No
way! It takes out the Gnomemobile, but it's still below Frozen Assets to me, because for some reason I just love the Shelley Long, Corbin Burnson combination. I mean, yeah, why aren't they married?
I know, right? They should at least have a child together.
Yeah. They should at least have a troop of girls / Boy Scouts together.
Because, oh, it should be mentioned.
Or wilderness girls, sorry.
The very end, I think we talked about it, but I think we did. The very end of the movie, when the Martians finally leave,
yeah,
you know, Randy and his girlfriend, they're holding each other and like, yeah, yes, we can finally go back to cheating and stealing, yeah, and being, yes, assholes to each other.
Basically.
Yes.
That's,
you know.
That's a good spot for it, I think. I had a lot of back and forth on this because I didn't, because part of me was like, this is actually one of the, this probably would have made my top half if not for all the things that made me feel very, just,
It would be good if it wasn't for the bad.
Yeah, like the bad things,
yeah.
It was a little too much for me. I do a lot of work with like victims of sexual assault. I do a lot of work with, like, so it's something that I'm particularly sensitive to.
Yeah. Victims of Martian towel theft.
Yes. So for me personally, I couldn't, I wouldn't feel right putting this like very high in my list because there are things in it that I don't like.
So is it better than the movie where Mick Jagger laughs at the woman getting raped?
I forgot that happened.
See, I'm...
God
I'm,
damn it, Mick Jagger.
I'm basing this on the amount of weird, just laugh at sexual assault stuff. which, there's only one real scene of that in Running Out of Luck. And,
to be honest, Mick Jagger seldom knows what he's talking about anyway. He may have been laughing at a joke Keith Richards told him 2 years ago.
I'm gonna put this... See, okay, so here's my problem.
I was going to cut all this stuff out.
Yeah, that's fine. Here's my problem, is I was going to put this between Society and Final Mission.
Oh, top half.
Because, like I said, it's a top half quality movie, but all the sexual assault stuff just brings me down, man. And all the making fun of the mentally ill. But I don't think that qualifies it just to go straight to the bottom, you know? I'm going to put it in between the Gnomemobile and Splitting Hairs.
Okay, so it's not as good as Splitting Hairs?
No, because really? there's
well, consensual. Really? You want to I'm kidding.
No,
I'm
there's
kidding.
Consensual butt in that. So
there's consensual sack in that.
There's consensual
actually,
titty
no.
tassels in that. So
actually, I didn't consent to see Eric House.
That's right.
I mean, as the
that sack like, was forced upon you.
And as the screenwriter and producer of the movie, I think Eric Idle was
sexually assaulted everybody.
One and only person who made that happen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure there's a guy in editing like, hey, man, we can see your sack.
Yeah.
You know what? Keep it in. Are you sure? Keep it in.
What about this other scene where we see your sack? No.
Keep it in.
That's probably like a weird fetish that Eric Idle has to make people, like, without them doing it, see his sack. Mm-hmm. He's just sneak sack on people.
I'm sure he has, like, one of those slide door things for, like, you know, people to see who's at the door, and I'm sure his sack is just saying, like, oh, God, sorry.
He probably does
that
to all his friends. It's like he probably calls it his sneak sack attack.
That's why John Cleese doesn't go to his house anymore.
Like, in all his pictures, he probably just unzips real quick and then takes his balls out so that they're in all of his pictures. Like, weddings.
And Idle, the
original party animal.
Yep. I feel comfortable with that, I guess.
Beetlejuice.
I remember what you said. It's 5:30. Wake up. Only 5:30. Now, why me, huh? Why was I the first?
You get up early.
That's right. If we could only unlock this terrible riddle, then we'd know why they've come. Think, Mark. Think.
You're really getting out of line here, fella.
5:30. 5 times 30 is 150. 150. Does that mean the Martians would have to live here for 150 years?
Would you shut up?
150 years? I'm not ready to leave in 150 years. I just got here. I like to relax, get to know the town, maybe buy some shirts.
You see, they're trying to distract me. They know that I'm onto something, huh? You know that I'm onto something, don't you?
Look, but why would they come to me first?
Because you're tall.
No, no, no. It's the music.